The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Has anyone seen the film The Overnighters? It's a documentary. No one? Well, you should see it. It's a true story about a little Lutheran church in a little town called Williston, North Dakota. That's the pastor in the middle on the top. And there was an oil boom around Williston. Maybe you heard about the oil boom in North Dakota. And men from all over the country came looking for jobs. There were so many jobs. But there was no room in the inn. There was nowhere to stay in Williston. There were no hotel rooms open, no apartments to rent. So all these men that came to work were just living in their cars. And this pastor of the Lutheran church said, we have to open our doors to these men. We have to give them a place to stay. So the church opened their doors, and these men slept in the church every night, in the Sunday school rooms, in the fellowship hall. But the whole church didn't feel the same way. Some church members were not happy. The neighbors were worried. Can we trust these men? But the pastor says, we are called to open our doors to these strangers. I won't give away the ending of the movie, but it raises some important questions for us as Christians. Who are we called to serve? Where do we draw the line? Who's welcome in our church, in our community? Who is not welcome? Well, in Jesus' day, it was clear for the people of Israel who was in and who was out. We have to remember that Jesus was Jewish. His disciples were Jewish, and all the people they hung out with were Jewish. Jesus is sent to the people of Israel. He's sent to them to proclaim the kingdom, to heal the sick, to bring salvation. That's meant for the people of Israel. Not long before our story in Matthew's gospel, Jesus sends out his disciples. And he says this, don't go among those who aren't Jews. Instead, go to the people of Israel. Jesus tells his disciples, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the people of Israel. Did you know in Matthew's gospel, Jesus only ministers to Gentiles three times? Only three times. And they're all sort of by accident. A Roman commander finds Jesus and says, my servant is sick. So Jesus has mercy and heals him. And then Jesus and his disciples need to take a vacation from ministry. So they go across the lake. And when they get there, they're met with a man or two men possessed by demons, and Jesus heals them. And the third time is the story we just read. Jesus and his disciples again have to leave Galilee. They need a break from ministry. They meet this woman, and Jesus ends up healing her daughter. But Jesus is never looking to help the Gentiles. That's not what he's been called to do. He's not going to the Gentiles. His focus is to serve the people of Israel. Now, that's not because Jesus doesn't think the Gentiles matter to God. Jesus knows that God's plan has always been to save the world. But God's plan has an order. God chose Abraham and said, I will bless you so you'll be a blessing to the nations. God saved the Hebrew people from Egypt so that they would be a light to the nations. God's plan has an order. Let's look back at Isaiah 56. The Lord says, suppose outsiders want to follow me and serve me. That would be all of us, by the way. We're all Gentiles, okay, together. Then I will bring them to my holy mountain of Zion. My house will be called a house where people from all nations can pray. That's what God wants. He wants all nations to be saved. But the Gentiles, their time will come. First, Jesus is sent to the people of Israel. So it's odd that Jesus and his disciples go to Gentile lands. They leave Galilee, they leave Jewish lands and go to Tyre and Sidon. That's Gentile territory. But they go there not to serve, but to rest. They need a break from ministry, from all the people always needing to be healed. And plus, the Pharisees are angry with Jesus. They want to get him. So Jesus and his disciples leave. They need to let things cool down in Galilee. But as we've seen, Jesus has a way of attracting people with needs, people that need help. And so this woman finds Jesus. We don't know her name. We only know that she's from the land of Canaan. And what does that mean? It means she's pagan. She worships many gods. And she's considered unclean by the Jewish people. She's not one of them. She's not a member of God's chosen people. She's beyond Jesus' mission. She's not worthy of his time and attention. But there's more to it. In the Old Testament, the Canaanites were the enemy of Israel. Canaan was their enemy. The Israelites were tempted to worship the gods of Canaan. So the people of Canaan were dangerous to Israel's faith. They were a temptation. But you know Jesus gave a sermon where he said, "Love your enemies." So maybe this woman is worthy of Jesus' attention. But there's still more to it. In the beginning of Matthew's gospel, there's a long list of names. You've probably skipped over it. It's Jesus' genealogy, his family line, all of his ancestors. Did you know there are three women from Canaan in Jesus' family line? Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. Matthew knows that Jesus has Canaanite blood in his veins. And we easily forget that. This woman is beyond Jesus' mission, but maybe she is worthy of his attention. After she begs Jesus for mercy, Jesus is silent. He doesn't say a word. Is he ignoring her? Or does he feel stuck between his mission and calling to Israel and his compassion for this woman and her sick daughter? Or does Jesus see this as a teaching moment for his disciples? A chance to show his disciples how big God's mission really is. Is she worthy of Jesus' time and attention? Well, the disciples know the answer. Of course not. No way. She's an unclean Gentile. She's not one of us. She's not worth your time, Jesus. Finally, Jesus speaks. "I was only sent to the people of Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel." Do you know who he's talking to when he says that? I don't. It doesn't say. He could be talking to the woman, or his disciples, or maybe just himself. But the disciples must be thinking, "Yes, Jesus, that's our point. You were only sent to us, not to her." But this woman is thinking, "Jesus, I don't care who you were sent to, but you're here now, and I believe you can help my daughter." So she begs, "Lord, help me." She's on her knees. Then Jesus says something surprising and concerning. "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Those seem like harsh words. What's Jesus saying? Well, the disciples like the sound of it. That's right. She's a dog. Just send her away. She's not worth your time and energy. But is Jesus being that harsh? Well, he doesn't call her a dog. And plus, the Greek word for dogs is more like house pet, not wild dogs. But Jesus is being clear. He's being clear that his mission is to the people of Israel. And this woman is beyond that mission. Salvation comes to Israel first. That's just the order. But Jesus hasn't sent her away yet. And she's not going anywhere. She's beyond his mission, but maybe she is worthy of his attention. She hasn't given up. She's desperate to find help for her daughter. And she's bold enough to challenge Jesus. Yes, Lord, it is right. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their owner's table. That takes some boldness and some courage to talk back to this rabbi and say, actually, it is right. Even the dogs should get the crumbs. And Jesus is amazed at her faith. Woman, you have great faith. You'll be given what you're asking for. And her daughter is healed. I imagine Jesus is smiling when he says, "Woman, you have great faith." He's smiling because she has just taught his disciples a lesson. She's become their teacher. And she teaches the disciples two things. That God's mission is bigger than they think. And that bold faith is the way to receive God's healing and salvation. So in the end, Jesus gladly receives this woman as part of his mission. She is worthy of his time and his energy. If you jump to the end of Matthew's gospel and you read the last words Jesus says, you'll see this. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go and baptize the nations." You must go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'll be with you always, even to the end. So Jesus will send his disciples to all people to share the good news of God's salvation, that the time has come for Israel's light to shine. The time has come to share what God has done in Jesus. The time has come for the dogs to become children, to be adopted as children. The time has come for that woman to take her place at the table as a beloved child of God. The time has come for all people to eat the bread of heaven that Jesus gives for the life of the world. When Jesus gives his disciples that instruction, that commission, I wonder if they remember that woman from Canaan and the lesson they taught them about how big God's heart is, about how big God's mission is, and about how bold our faith should be. And Matthew, the author of this gospel, wants to teach his audience the same lesson. Matthew is writing his gospel to a church in Syria, but it's almost made up of all Jews, Jewish Christians. And Matthew wants this small early church to ask, should this church just be made up of Jewish people like us? Or maybe this good news about Jesus is meant for everyone. Matthew wants that church to ask the question, just like we should ask the question, who should belong here? Who is welcome here? Who is invited to the table to eat the bread? I had a conversation this week with Makema, who isn't here this morning, but Makema and I were talking about the difference between this service and the other worship service. He says, what is this service about? And I said, well, it was started to help those who are learning English, to be hospitable. And it's grown to include people from different places, some who need to learn English and others who know English well. But I told Makema, this service is one way our church is trying to live into God's future. That woman from Canaan was a sign of God's future. God's salvation had an order, but she showed us the future about what God's salvation was meant for all people. And that future, we see a picture of it in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation. And John writes down what he sees. He says, after this I looked, and I saw in front of me a crowd so great that no one could count. And they were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they wore white robes, and they had palm branches in their hands. And they cried out together, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It's a picture of God's future. But is it just for the future? Is it just something we have to wait for until heaven? Some say yes. We can't do that now. We can't do that here. We can't be a church where people from all nations come to pray. It's too hard. There are too many barriers. There are too many lines between us. What do you think? Do you think we're called to that vision today? I do. And I think that woman from Canaan can be our teacher. So we can learn together how to push the boundaries, how to have a bold faith, how to pray boldly, that the Spirit would come and break down those barriers. Makema taught me about bold faith this week. If you don't know his story, you should ask him what it's like to live away from his wife and his one-year-old son. He taught me about bold faith, how to pray with perseverance when it seems like God is silent. We need to learn to pray that Jesus would be here breaking down our barriers so that we could be a sign of the future, so that people could look at Church of the Servant and say, that's a little taste of heaven. So this could be a place where people from all nations come to pray. And this can be a place where more and more people come to this table as children of God, not as strangers, to come and receive the salvation that God wants for all people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.